So tonight I read to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. In the New International Version, it says this: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I'm going, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." We thank God for God's word to us this evening. So I'm quite convinced that in life, we raise up and our faith grows and is built when we have something to stand on. Okay? I'm not the tallest guy in the world. 1.72 meters tall. But if I stand on something, I get a little bit taller. And throughout our lives, we find that there are ways that we build and we grow and we change. And we're not the same person we were before. We grow, as it were. And similarly in our faith, in a very similar way, when we come to God and we find newness in life, when we're able to build faith within us, we grow as well. And so tonight I'm hoping that the visual as well as the words, the auditory, will help us to begin to understand that. And so this idea that faith is built on something, that faith grows and moves and changes, and that over years it gets bigger and better, you would think would be something that the disciples knew very well. And in fact, some of them did. Some of them were very clear. Jesus, at different times in his ministry, asked them, "Who's the Messiah? Who do people say I am? Who do you say I am?" And they gave good answers. They said, "You are the Messiah. You are the one who's come to change the world around us, to lead us." And there were many responses that the disciples gave that show that they were, in fact, close to God. And their faith was growing. Even just the step out that each of them took and said, "I will follow you, Jesus, because you called me." And they move into that space that they take a step of faith and they grew. But then when we read this scripture, when we read John 14, we find that the disciples give, particularly Thomas, gives what we might consider a strange answer. But don't forget that Thomas also in other places asks questions. And Thomas asks Jesus a question in this encounter that he has with him. Jesus says, "I'm going somewhere and you know the way." And Thomas, as Thomas does, not just here but elsewhere, asks his question. And some people might think, well, didn't he know? Was he being willfully ignorant here? What was the problem? Why did he need to ask? He had just spent years with Jesus learning about what Jesus says and does, and surely he should have been in a place where he knew that Jesus was talking about something more than just a direction somewhere. But he asks his question, and I want to say tonight, off the bat, that questions are good for us in our faith. Because even Thomas, who had been with Jesus, needed to ask questions to clarify. He needed to ask questions in order to understand more deeply, and that's exactly what he does. And we're glad that he does, because it gives us opportunity to ask the same questions and to get clarity and new answers ourselves. And so Thomas builds his faith. He stands on something when he asks a question. And so Jesus says, I'm preparing a place. I'm going somewhere. You know the way. And Thomas says, we don't know the way, God. How do we get there? And this idea that the disciples were asking questions, this idea that the disciples were learning and grappling and growing, is something we can take into our own lives as well. Where we can say we ask questions, we grow, and we grow through that. And it's my hope that tonight we'll hear that as the beginning bit. But there is something that I think the disciples missed. They were speaking to Jesus, they had this interaction, and Jesus gave a good explanation. I'm going somewhere, and I've prepared a place for you, and I'm going there, and you know the way to get there. They mistook Jesus' physical presence for the final say in everything. And think about the disciples at that time. They had seen Jesus as a physical man come to earth, and he taught and he changed, and the miracles he did changed the very world around them. They saw so many things, and in fact, Jesus even refers to the miracles in this scripture. But they had only seen in their entire life a physical Jesus, there with them, alive, walking and talking in their presence. And so when Jesus begins to speak, they miss what he's saying. 2,000 years later, it's easy for us to say, yeah, but he was clearly speaking about a metaphor there. Like, obvious. But for them, it wasn't. They had only known a physical Jesus. And so when Jesus starts speaking about the way that you must go, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, I'm going somewhere, and you know the way, they would have very quickly been like, there's no Google Maps here. There's no telephones to phone you and say, which valley are you in? We don't know the way you're going. You said you're going somewhere, but you need to give us directions. Because they had missed that Jesus was speaking about a deeper truth and not just a physicality. They had seen Jesus, the physical human being, and they wanted to follow him in that way. And so their questions are also not that strange to us, because when we see it and we read it in that light, we begin to realize, actually, they were just trying to be practical. Jesus was saying he was going somewhere and they needed to follow, and that they knew the way, but then they came with a practical question and said, actually, we don't. We need you to tell us how to go. And then Jesus begins to speak about the deeper truth that was there. And so this question that Thomas asked led him to a deeper understanding of Jesus. And it allowed him to see something new. And so when Jesus says, you know the way, it leaves us asking another question. What does Jesus mean by that? We know that it wasn't a physical way because the disciples had cleared that up for us. We know that it must be something more. But Jesus said that they know the way, and I think the reason that he said that was because they were confused, and then he explained it and he expanded it a bit more. Jesus said that the disciples knew the way to where he was going because he had already taught them about the way God is in our world. He had given them building blocks in their faith in order to be able to grow and to change. And he had told them that God is always with them. And he had made that clear. He had spoken through parables. He had spoken through healings. He had spoken through his words and teachings. He had spoken to them again and again and again and said, God is with you. God is in this world around us. God is inviting us each moment, each day into newness. God wants wholeness and goodness in our lives. God is with you. God is with each one of us. God is guiding you and God is holding you. So when he said, you know the way, what he meant was you're standing on something which is solid underneath you. I've taught you these things. And already in your hearts, in your minds, you know it, you see it, it's there. Trust in what's come before. And I want us to hear that tonight as well. To hear the words, not just for the disciples, but for you. God has always been with you. God is always guiding you. And God is always holding you. And then when we stand on faith and we stand on what we've built in our lives, we then stand a bit taller. But have you ever maybe heard someone say something like this? That everything was ordinary, or we'd come to church that day, or I was praying, and then suddenly God appeared. God was there, and everything changed. Have you heard somebody say something like that? Or maybe somebody says something like, things weren't going well, and then suddenly God appeared, and God changed what was happening. And after that, things got better. I'm aware that in many times in our lives, we have this idea that sometimes God is absent and then God comes. God is available to us and there in our lives. And many times we might speak of it in that way, that said God wasn't there, but then God was there afterwards. And we see it in different ways in different places. But I want to say to us tonight that the presence of God is always with us. God is always in our lives, surrounding us, holding us, guiding us, as we've said now. But that it goes deeper than that. That God's very spirit is within us. And everywhere we go, the spirit goes with us. That God's love is in each one of us. And every time we love, we show compassion, God's love is shown into the world. That God's grace and forgiveness goes with us. And that each moment we find ourselves not sure of what's going on or wanting to live a life that is outside of God's way, then God is there still, giving us grace and hope. But what is sometimes missing is our awareness of God there. Our awareness of God's presence in our lives. And there are some times where we choose to stand on the faith that we know and we've built. And sometimes it's a bit taller than other times. And we stand taller. And there are some times where we choose to stand off it. To not follow our faith. To not go with the way, the truth, and the life that Jesus speaks in us. And then we don't stand as tall. We don't stand as sure as we did before. Sometimes we miss the awareness of God's presence. And that's, I believe, what the disciples missed. In the story is, as they were interacting with God, they were aware that Jesus was with them, but they weren't aware and they couldn't have known about Jesus no longer being with them. And in fact, there are times throughout the Gospels where the disciples tried to stop Jesus from going to the cross. The disciples, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter took out his sword and defended Jesus not to go to the cross. They didn't want him to die. And that was the natural response. That was the good response. Their teacher, their rabbi, was about to be crucified, and they knew it. And they wanted to stop that. But Jesus had said, you already have all the tools to lead you and guide you even after I'm gone. But do we sometimes do the same in our own lives, or maybe even feel the same way? That we feel like if
if I don't hold on to this about Jesus, then it's gone and my faith isn't as strong as it could be? Do we sometimes know in our heads that Jesus has spoken to us and given us life and hope and goodness and newness? And sometimes we choose not to follow that. And we go our own way. Because it's in our head, but sometimes it's not in our hearts. Or sometimes it's in our head, but it's at the back of our minds. And we choose not to acknowledge it, not to see it. And then we step off of our faith. Everything that's gone before that we know to be true. And we trust rather in our own ideas, rather than in the way of God. Sometimes we don't feel it. And our life is less for that. But here's the thing. Our faith and our understanding of God only grow when we are willing to be transformed. It only grows when we make ourselves available to God. God makes God's self available to us all the time. And again, the disciples were told by Jesus, we've been told by Jesus, that God is always there. God is always inviting, always willing for us to grow. It's our response that needs to come in this moment. And it's only by this response to Jesus that we're able to change. And think about even just the very decision to come to church. Think about the very decision to follow Jesus, to say, I give myself to you. Each time we open up scripture and we read it, it's a decision, a choice that says, I need God in my life more. And I want to read, I want to do that, I want to pray more. And each of those decisions leads us to a place where we're a little bit closer to God. Our faith is strengthened a little bit more. And it's our awareness, our knowing, and our choice that leads us there. And we are transformed by each of these moments. But we can only be transformed when we choose to follow Jesus. And so when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, sometimes in the church we've misinterpreted that. We've said that it's only those who take this as a very literal meaning who are going to heaven. Sometimes in the church around us, we hear this interpretation that says that if you don't believe that, that you're going to that other place and there will be gnashing of teeth. But rather, I believe this scripture, this one well-known verse, is actually Jesus trying to comfort his disciples in a time of distress. Jesus knew what was coming next. His disciples did in a way, but they also didn't to a full extent. He knew that he would soon die, and he knew that that would scatter them. He knew that that would test their faith to the very brink. And so in this moment, he says, I'm going somewhere. And he's trying to put it in a way that is calm and gentle for them. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going where there is many rooms. Me and the Father, we are one. We are together in this. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I go there and you will come after me and you know the way to get there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so as we hear this, we see that they are comforting words for the disciples. And I want them to be comforting words for each of us as well. And remember what the opening words of the scripture were as well. Do not be worried and upset. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I go before you. And in many ways, this isn't new in our lives. This isn't something that we haven't seen before. And think about it this way. Every book that you've ever read, have you read the book, closed it, put it aside, and then never thought about it again? Or do you think back to it and think about any time you've ever studied? Sometimes we're in an exam and we wish we could remember that page. But even so, there's moments in our lives where we read something and it sits in our minds. It goes with us. And even though we don't have the book with us, we have the knowledge with us. And we use it in different ways. Think about someone who's been in your life and has passed. And their memory lives in us and through us and with us. And sometimes we find ourselves in a situation which says that person who's passed, their being, their very life, helps me to understand the situation. I can speak their words here. I can do what they would have done or what they taught me. Even though they're no longer with me, their memory, their life, lives in me. It's something that's there. And sometimes even our own experiences. We've been through something, something joyous, something difficult, whatever it might be. And that experience has changed us and moved us. And we don't just leave it behind. It's happened now. I'm never going to think about it again. It changes us. And it means the next time something else happens, we're able to respond in a different way because of that experience. And so we find that knowledge and those who've gone before us and our own experiences allow us to live a different life tomorrow from what today was. And it builds us and grows us and helps us to live. And so when Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he's saying something similar here. I've shown you all of these things. I've given you the tools you need in order to grow your faith and to stand taller. Ooh. And each of those things, not just the knowledge that you have in your head, not just the experiences you have in your heart, not just the people who've come before in the community, in the scripture, in the prayers that we've been through, our faith that stands underneath us, the way, the truth, and the life that Jesus has given to each one of us, that's what we stand on. And so tonight, I believe that's where the rubber hits some of the road. When Jesus says, "I am the way," he's speaking about his law written on our hearts. He's speaking about the way in which he's given us how to live. And it's not just in scripture, it's in community. When we go to home groups, when we live in community, when we speak to other Christians, when we find those moments where we're just singing in our hearts and minds and saying, "God's way is on my heart." And that's why songs that we sing and the melodies that run through our minds that remind us of just small things in our lives. The overwhelming, reckless love of God that pops into our mind during the day. Jesus is there in that moment. Jesus is that way right there. When Jesus says he is the truth, having given us scriptures, having given us the ability to pray, having given us the ability to be in relationship with others and to experience newness and wholeness through each of these ways. He says he's the truth and we hold to that. When he says he's the life, when we can look into the world around us and we can say it's not meant to be this way, it's not meant to be broken and hard and difficult and there shouldn't be so much pain in the world around us. He says he is the life. And we're able to bring new life into those places. And we pray to the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to overflow in us into the world around us. And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You live your life. You come to the Father. The Father is in you. The Father is in me because of that. And when we see the scripture in that light, it allows us to live quite differently. There's another scripture which is one of our lectionaries tonight, but it was long and I didn't read it, but I refer back to it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 to 10. It speaks of Jesus as the cornerstone. What we base our lives on, what others rejected, what some people see as a stumbling block, but that for many of us allows us to lift up and raise up. And let me build this properly before I fall over. But when we place Jesus as the cornerstone underneath us, when we stand on faith that is built on more than just an idea, but on everything that Jesus offers, when we hear Jesus invite us into the way, the truth, and the life, and we build bricks underneath us to lift ourselves up, then we find ourselves in a place which allows us to live a very different life. And that's the invitation of Jesus tonight. Will you look at your life and will you ask that question? If I were to truly look at all the things in my life that Jesus has taught me, and when Jesus says, "The pathway is ahead of you, I'm going before you, I'm going to prepare a place for you," will you look to all those experiences in your life? Will you look to scripture? Will you look to prayer? Will you look to this church? Will you look to home groups? Will you look to the Holy Spirit speaking in your life each day and say, "Yes, Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, Jesus, you are lifting me up. Yes, Jesus, I trust in the foundation that you built below me, so that I can stand higher, I can stand taller, and my faith can be strong underneath me. And then Jesus will be the cornerstone, the one that holds us up in our lives.
I end with this. Will you trust tonight that Jesus is with us always? That Jesus lifts us up? And when you leave here tonight, will you think again and again about the ways in which Jesus has given you the tools to follow and to go in his pathway in this life? And will you trust in each one of those, knowing that God is behind each one? Let's pray together. Heavenly God, we thank you that you are always with us, not just with us, but in us and through us. We thank you that because of that, the world around us can be very different and our lives can be very different from what we expected. We thank you, God, that you went before us. You gave us the example of Jesus. You gave us his words and his teaching. And you gave us the ability to interpret and to look at them and to incorporate them into our lives. We pray, God, that we would use these not only to raise our faith, to build us up, but to bring light and hope into the world around us.